Okay. Have you ever had expectations for God? You know, he's supposed to do this. And have you ever had where he's supposed to do this, but he didn't? He just didn't do what you, well, God, what's with you, man? Why didn't you do what you were supposed to do? God, I thought you were going to heal my mom. What's the deal? Or, you know, God, I thought you were going to grow this ministry this way. Or, can you still walk with God when that happens? I mean, if God doesn't do what you think he's supposed to do, how do you respond? Can you still trust him? Some people can't. For some people, they want God to do what they want. As if they are God. And when God doesn't do what they want, they now want nothing to do with God. Jesus dealt with that kind of thing. We're in Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 38 to 42. And I'm just going to ask somebody to read those verses. Would somebody read those verses 38 to 42? Okay, thank you, Maggie. Go ahead. Read them.
Some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here."
Okay. Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. That's how this begins, right? Verse 38. Show us a sign. What's wrong with a sign? Doesn't Jesus perform signs all the time? But now he doesn't. So, like, what's the deal? I mean, Jesus is constantly giving people signs. And now here are people asking him for a sign, and he says, I'm not going to give you one. In fact, here he says, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given it except that of Jonah. And then he gives his thing about Jonah being a, Jonah's a metaphor for the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's what he gives them. But that isn't what they were looking for. They're looking for a different kind of sign than that. We all know that. And Jesus isn't going to give them that. And now, so listen here, listen to this. Jesus is standing before blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus heals him. Isn't Bartimaeus asking for a sign? And Jesus is giving it to him. The problem here isn't signs per se, as far as it goes. It's something else. It involves signs. It's these people want Jesus to perform signs for them on demand for their own sake, just for the sake of the sign, as if the sign is the thing. The sign isn't the thing. Signs always point to something else. That's what signs do. It's their job. But these people want the sign just to have a sign. Bartimaeus, he wanted something other than a sign, really. He's asking for a sign, yes. It is a sign when Jesus heals him. But Bartimaeus really wants to see. He's blind. These people want a sign for Jesus as if Jesus is their pet dog. Here, boy. Here, Jesus. Come here. Do a sign. Good boy. Good Jesus. This is what's going on with these people. They're acting as if they get to tell God what to do. And God will just perform a sign on demand for them anytime they want it. They think signs come at their request. That's what they want. They have turned Jesus into their trick pony. And Jesus wants nothing to do with that arrangement. He isn't their trick pony. And he isn't going to play that game. Now, we got to think this way in life, because there are times God does things for us, and times he doesn't do things for us. Or there are times God heals one man and doesn't heal another one. Or there are times God gives this person the job, but he doesn't give this person the job. And we want him to behave the same way all the time for everybody. And on one level, he does. He's unchanging. He's righteous to everybody. He's just to everybody. But that doesn't mean all the details are the same for everybody. Sometimes he gives people one thing, and sometimes he withholds it. And he doesn't tell you why. He just does it. And you know what? He's God. He gets to do that. That's part of being God. And so the problem here is it's not really signs all by themselves. The problem is that these people have forgotten who God is and who they are. That's what's going on here. And sometimes we have similar attitudes. Sometimes we forget who God is and who we are. Sometimes people say, well, God didn't give me that job, the one I wanted, you know. I'm not following him. Why would I follow a God who doesn't give me what I want? Or I asked God to save my marriage, and he didn't. I'm done with God. I've heard that line, sadly. Now, in that attitude, there's an attitude in there, right? You see an attitude behind all of that. And that there's arrogance in that attitude. That kind of thinking is not worshiping God. Because the important thing to the person isn't God. It's the job or the marriage or the health or the whatever it happens to be. And that's the thing that's more important than God in the life of that person. In other words, God exists in your mind just to give you what you want. There are people for whom that's all God is. God is Santa Claus. You cannot demand that God perform for you. Now, that's the first problem with what these Pharisees are doing. They are demanding that God perform for them, and you can't do that because he's God. Here's the second problem they have with it, with this. What they want, I'm going to just sort of put it this way. What they want is flash and bang. And they're turning faith into flash and bang. And you can't replace godliness with flash and bang. I read this article this week. This article was talking about a particular women's ministry figure who's very popular right now. She's written books. She speaks at conferences. She was asked about being a mom and staying home with her kids. Here's her answer. Quote, I'm just going to quote her answer. It's not my spiritual gifting. It's not in my wheelhouse. You know what's in my wheelhouse? Building a successful business, managing a team, writing books, giving a keynote speech, crushing it on social media, strategizing, branding, PR, and planning live events where 1,000 women fly in from all over the world to be inspired. That's what she said. I actually, right now, I don't even know if she's married. I don't know the details of this person, but I know this. I would not want to be her son. I know that, based on where her priorities are. Now, what I want you to do is think for a moment. She was asked about being a mom, staying home with kids, and her answer is, this is what's in my wheelhouse. This is what I want. She wants flash and bang. She wants the excitement. She wants the notoriety, being in front of a lot of people, and the energy and the excitement of all of that. That's what she wants. That's what she's pursuing. Now, I will tell you this, being a mom, I'm speaking as a dad. I should let my wife do this part of the sermon. But I will tell you this, being a mom is hard work. It's behind the scenes. It's hidden. Nobody sees it. You don't get a lot of acclaim for it. You're not going to go and write books and be in front of lots of people and so on by just being a really good mom. Good moms generally aren't doing those sorts of things. But I'll tell you this, societies are a whole lot better off with good moms than they are with good keynote speakers. And hear me, I'm not speaking against conferences or speakers or writing books or any of that stuff. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, any more than there's anything wrong with Jesus giving a sign. There's nothing wrong with Jesus giving a sign. There's nothing wrong with speakers and books and so on. Jesus' opposition to signs is making the sign the focus, as if that's the thing that matters. Following Jesus is not just a big party. It's not like it's not a rock concert. You know, you go and there's everybody's cheering and there's the music is loud and there's all this energy and that's not how following Jesus is. It's not the glitzy, flashy place where the media runs and the cameras flash. People who really know Jesus and follow him well generally aren't very famous. Now, yes, there are some famous Christians. I'm not saying there aren't. But the ones that are the best ones never pursued it. They didn't get that way by that's what they wanted. They got that way because, well, they were pursuing God and something happened and, you know. There's nothing wrong with being famous, but it's the pursuit of it that was the problem. Following Jesus is hard work. Jesus calls us to die to self. It's kind of what I was meditating on earlier. I shared with you about Romans 6. And let me tell you something. Excuse me. Dying to self is not anyone's spiritual gift. It isn't in anyone's wheelhouse. It just doesn't come natural. I've got the spiritual gift of dying to self. If anyone ever tells you that, you know that they have no clue what they are talking about. because it is hard. And generally it happens where no one sees it. That's the way it works. Okay, Jesus is not a politician trying to win votes. Jesus is not in the entertainment industry trying to win fans by having a nice show. When he gives signs, he's not giving signs to have a show. His signs aren't meant to be laser shows. His signs are there for something else, for something deeper. Jesus wants soldiers who will die. That's what he wants. Now, if he, let's say he gave the Pharisees what they asked for. Teacher, we want you to do a sign for us. And what if he did? And what if he won the following of these Pharisees by doing a sign? Their praise would be superficial. Because that isn't the kind of follower Jesus wants. He's not looking for those kind of people. See, a focus on flash and bang produces a Christianity that is shallow at best. If you could even call it a Christianity. For some people, it may not even be the real thing. It's just flash and bang. That's all it is. The modern church, just sort of apply this to today, we sometimes fall into this. We've talked in the past, a few weeks ago, I can't remember when, about the celebrity, you know, Christian celebrity thing, and that's a real thing in the Christian world. Sometimes Christians do this with contemporary worship. You know, you got to have the big band, you got to have the sound, the lights, you know, maybe even throw a fog machine in there. And that's worship consists of that stuff. Now, here's the thing. None of that stuff officially is bad or wrong. There's nothing wrong with a big band and lights and whatnot. But you know what? That's not what makes worship. That's flash and bang. That's outward, external stuff. Worship is something that goes on in the heart of a person. And if you need the flash and bang to have your heart worship God, there's something going on in your heart that needs to change. The people who die for Christ do not make the external things, the signs, the wow factor. They never make that the focus. At the same time, they don't reject it. There's something real to Jesus. When Jesus did do signs, people were amazed, the Bible says. That is there. It's not wrong, but it's not what the faith is about. And so Jesus says to these Pharisees, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. That's his sign. It's almost as if he's saying, you want a sign? No. But okay, I'll give you a sign. Here's your sign. Jonah. That's your sign. Which was not at all what they wanted or was looking for. They're not going to see that sign. In other words, when Jesus gives them the sign of Jonah, but the Pharisees actually don't see that as a sign. They don't get it. It's going totally over their head, the sign that Jesus is giving them. They have no idea what he's talking about. You wouldn't either at that point. Looking back, we can see what he's talking about because we have the death and the resurrection. But when he's talking to them, that hadn't happened yet. It's a prediction. Jesus is actually prophesying something that's going to happen. He's predicting his death and resurrection by using Jonah as a sign. And Jesus gives this sign to them, and then he says to them that by the Ninevites, whom Jonah preached to, they are going to be judged. So we're looking at verse 41 now, 41 and 42. He says, the men of Nineveh will rise up and judge these people and condemn them. Because Nineveh, and then what's the word he uses? What did Nineveh do? Verse 41.
Repented.
Nineveh repented. And the Pharisees have not. And they're going to be judged by Nineveh. Nineveh did what you can't even do, and Nineveh had something a whole lot less than you have. And then he says the Queen of Sheba, verse 42, the Queen of the South, it says there, that references to the Queen of Sheba. It says the Queen of Sheba will also rise up in the judgment, and she's going to condemn them because she sought out the wisdom of Solomon. But the Pharisees, they're not interested in the wisdom of God. Guys, people who demand that God do what they want, when they want, will be judged in the end. And they will be judged because they don't repent. That's why they'll be judged. There's no repentance in that. That's holding yourself above God. That's making God your slave. And when you repent, when people do repent, their heart comes to God, and your heart is broken. That's part of what repentance is. Repentance involves a broken heart. And when you're broken-hearted, you don't demand that God please every whim that you have. That's not brokenheartedness. That's arrogance. When you repent, one of the things you know for sure is that you are not God. You see that so clearly. It's part of what repentance is. And so the Ninevites, these wicked people from the land of Assyria, those guys are going to condemn people who think God exists to give them what they want. That God, the purpose of God is to give me the right job or the right guy or the right, all my health just so. And the Ninevites are going to condemn people who think that's what God's like. In addition, people who seek flash and bang for its own sake, they will be judged too. Because they don't really care about the wisdom of God. They don't want anything deeper than, wow. That's all they want. Wow. And they don't care about genuine godliness, because genuine godliness is deeper than wow. And the Queen of Sheba, a Gentile queen who heard about Solomon and wanted to seek out the wisdom of Solomon, she is going to condemn those people. Because she honored Solomon better than they honor Jesus. And part of the reason that these Old Testament people, Jonah, the Ninevites, the Queen of Sheba, part of the reason that these people are going to condemn the post-New Testament people that reject Christ is that we have something greater than they had. You look at verse 41, and you see in verse 41, Jesus says, and now something greater than Jonah is here. And then you look at verse 42 at the end, And you see, but something greater than Solomon is here. And Jesus is saying something about himself. He's talking about himself here. He's saying that he is greater than Jonah. That's verse 41. And then he is saying he is greater than Solomon. That's verse 42. Now that's huge for a Jew, especially greater than Solomon. Solomon was like the richest, greatest. I mean, David is the king that they look up to the most, but Solomon actually surpassed David in terms of greatness, at least as far as the earthly kingdom was concerned. And Jesus is saying, I'm greater than Solomon. This is part of what part of the problem people have with Jesus. They don't want Jesus to be who he is. See, Jesus is called the King of Kings in Scripture. That means he's greater than all the kings. Jesus says he's greater than all the prophets. Jesus, let's put it this way, Jesus is greater than Caesar. Jesus is greater than all the kings and the prophets. Think of the rulers of your countries today. Jesus outranks them. One day they will bow to Jesus. They don't know that, but they will. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is greater than Muhammad. Jesus is greater than Beyonce. Jesus is greater than LeBron. Jesus is greater than Gandhi. Jesus is greater than Martin Luther King Jr. Now, all these men are men who, on earth, there are people who call them great for some reason or other. Jesus outranks every single one of those people. He far surpasses everyone you can think of in terms of glory. He's superior. And so then, for you and me to demand that Jesus do for us exactly what we want, just the way we want it, is to reject him as King of Kings. Now hear me, doesn't mean we don't go to him and ask for requests, and like a son goes to his father or a daughter goes to his father. We have that privilege. We can do that. But when a son goes to his father, he understands he's the son, he's the father. The father doesn't have to do anything. You don't go arrogantly. You can ask of him what you wish. I'm not trying to discourage prayer. I want to encourage prayer. But I want to encourage prayer with the right attitude, understanding who we are and who Jesus is. In fact, when you understand who Jesus is, that should encourage prayer. And so Jesus surpasses Solomon in glory, but some people turn him into their slave. He's greater than all the kings of the earth, but some people make him their trick pony just to show him off. He's not going to do that. Jesus is Lord. That is probably the single most often used phrase of Jesus in the New Testament. He's called Lord more than he's called anything else in the New Testament, I think. I didn't count up all the references for all the different names of Jesus, but that's my guess, because he's called Lord a lot. And Lord means king. And he's your king. And he's your king whether you like it or not. You don't get to change that fact. You can acknowledge that, but you don't get to say he's not my king. Well, you do get to say it if you wish. You just will be wrong. You don't get to change the reality of who he is. And you and I will be judged on how we treat our king. He's greater than all the men of the earth, and he expects us to acknowledge that. Not just with words. but with our lives. Jesus asks for your life. He has the right to, because of who he is. He wants it. He wants your life. Lay it down. It's hard, but lay it down. Lay down your life and follow Jesus. And I will tell you this, it's really hard. And it's not flashy. But when you do that, you'll find your life. He promises you that. Let's pray. Blessed be your name, O God. We come to you with joy, rejoicing in who you are. You are the creator of the universe. You are our Savior and our Lord. I pray that you make us a people who see you for who you are and see ourselves for who we are and love you and adore you and give you all of our heart. We need your grace and your help to do that. But you grant it freely, and we're grateful. We give to you honor and glory and blessing and praise, for you are worthy and deserve it. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.